Craig, brother, Battle Creek, Michigan, February 4th, 1891. Dear Brother Craig, I've a great desire to visit Chicago and speak to the school there before it closes, but I've learned that your wife and her mother are in the mission, and I could not think of going there to meet this element. I know that neither your wife nor her mother will exert that influence which ought to prevail in the mission. I am sad, because I see nothing before you but temptation and trial, and I fear for your soul. The light has been given you through the testimonies, and also to those who preside over the mission, and now it rests with you to follow the light which God has given. A few nights since the case of your wife was again presented before me, said my guide, unchanged in heart, unchanged in character, an agent through whom Satan will work with his deceptive wiles to mar the work of God, to leave impressions upon the minds of both believers and unbelievers that will be unfavorable to the truth. Her influence, instead of winning to the truth, will militate against it. I have revealed my will. It is not safe to walk contrary to it. Many things were spoken in regard to your danger. While you were in Brooklyn, God revealed himself to you in his matchless loveliness, that you might know that he loved you, and that your only hope was in abiding in Christ. You tasted of the bread of life, of the powers of the world to come. You could say, Lord, evermore give us this bread. John 6, verse 34. But I know from the light which the Lord has given me that you are in danger of feeding on husks and not on bread. Your only hope is in clinging to Jesus. Real religion has its seat in the heart, and as it is an abiding principle there, it works outwardly, molding the external conduct until the entire being is conformed to the image of Christ. Even the thoughts are brought into subjection to the mind of Christ. If the abiding principle is not in the heart, the mind will be molded after the deceiving similitude of Satan's mind, working his will to the ruin of the soul. The atmosphere which surrounds such souls is deleterious to all around them, whether believers or unbelievers. Mrs. Craig will show herself contrary to right, truth, and holiness. She will not listen to God's words coming to her by pen or voice. She is as contrary to God as she can well be, in determined opposition to God, to his thoughts, to his words, to his corrections, and displays her hostility in hatred to his servants. Her affections are not set on pure, holy, ennobling themes. Self is her world. She cannot bear the presence of God. She does not care what she says or does. She is a hater of God. The less she has of God, the better she enjoys herself. Few believe that humanity has sunk so low as it has, or that it is so thoroughly bad, so desperately opposed to God as it is. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Romans 8, verse 7. When the mind is not under the direct influence of the Spirit of God, Satan can mold it as he chooses. All the rational powers which he controls, he will carnalize. He is directly opposed to God in his tastes, views, preferences, likes and dislikes, choice of things and pursuits. There is no relish for what God loves or approves, but a delight in those things which he despises. Therefore, a course is maintained which is offensive to him. This leads to controversy with those who are trying to walk in the way of the Lord. They will call light darkness, and darkness light, good evil, and evil good. Sin affects the entire being, so also does grace. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 10. If Christ be in you, if his Holy Spirit is an abiding principle in the soul, it will be revealed by works of righteousness. The soul derives its nourishment from Christ, the same as the physical body is nourished by food, and thus it is strengthened, and finally comes to partake of the same divine nature. If Christ is to us the bread of life, we shall grow up into the full stature of men and women in Christ. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. John 6, verse 53 to 57. Then Jesus explained his words. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit, and they are life. Verse 63.
On another occasion, Christ said, By their fruits ye shall know them. Matthew 7, verse 20. Those who have true religion will display, even amid poverty and trial and temptation, the same spirit of goodness, of love, of true excellence of character that was in Christ. And they will adorn the doctrine of Christ, constantly revealing its heavenly origin and its excellency to all with whom they associate. Those who call the Master, Lord, Lord, but will not do what he says, give evidence that Christ is not abiding in the soul. Brother Craig, your wife is not a Christian, and does not mean to be. She will labor incessantly, anxiously, and with determination to secure her purpose, which is to bring your soul under her influence. She is filled with vanity and self-admiration. To dictate, to control, to sway all connected with her is her aim, and she has too often succeeded. This element, which is so strong in her nature, should have no place in the mission, for it is demoralizing. Those who first make her acquaintance will be deceived, unless they have clear spiritual eyesight, and will receive false impressions of those in whom they should have confidence. Further acquaintance will reveal to them the defects of her character, but this costs too much, for it imperils souls. Satan will work through your wife to criticize others, to create suspicion, to set things in their worst light. Vainly puffed up by her fleshly mind, she sees everything in a perverted light. The wisdom which God gives is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. James 3, verse 17 and 18. Certainly one thing must be done. Your wife must leave the mission, even if you have to go with her. There is too much at stake to admit of her remaining there. As I have a love for your soul, I appeal to you to cling to Jesus, hold fast to Jesus. You must be created anew in Christ, unto good works. Thus Christ will be in you, and by faith you will abide in him. If Christ is abiding in the heart, he will be in all our thoughts. Our deepest thoughts will be of him, his love, his purity. He will fill all the chambers of the mind. Our affections will center about Jesus. All our hopes and expectations will be associated with him. To live the life we now live, by faith in the Son of God, looking forward to and loving his appearing, will be the soul's highest joy. He will be the crown of our rejoicing. Our hearts will repose in his love,
He that hath the Son hath life, eternal life. We shall not have any halfway, undecided, indefinite experience. We live through the daily operation of the Spirit of Jesus, which quickens, revives, and strengthens and supports the soul. We have life because of Christ's righteousness. As death was pronounced upon us because of Adam's sin, so life is imparted because of Christ's righteousness, and we live by faith in the Son of God. Christ is made sin for us, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. We are, with Christ, partakers of the divine nature, eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and all such have the promise of eternal life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die, never become extinct. John 11, verse 25, 26. Now, my brother, I present before you the promises of an infinite Savior. I have never regarded you in greater peril than now. Shall hell triumph, or shall Christ be victor? Your wife has had the light, but she has not walked in it, and her folly must not be on exhibition in such a place as the Chicago Mission. If she chooses to serve Satan, to be his agent, let as few as possible be harmed by her unrighteous course. She has not a fine sense of what propriety of conduct is. She can see how a napkin should be folded, just how to adjust little things pertaining to manners and dress, but she has no sense of what it means to her and her husband, and to those who associate with her, to have a clean, wholesome spirit, free from pride, vanity, and superfluities. The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, God values above gold, silver, or precious stones. But the spirit daily exhibited by your wife is contemptible in his sight. May the Lord let this poor, deluded woman see herself as she is in his sight, is my prayer. Then I pray that Jesus may reveal himself to her as one that can pardon and save. Now will Brother Craig choose God's way, or will he choose to go with his wife at all hazards? If so, there is but one thing to do. He must be separated from the work of God, for he will, through her influence, be unfitted for the work of God. May the Lord help him in this crisis.